Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, KSKA's weekly conversation with those in the performing arts. I'm Steve Hunt, your host, and my guest today is one of the most well-known and loved and respected people in the Anchorage theater community, Sandy Harper. Welcome to the show, Sandy.
Thank you, Steve.
And Sandy, as I said, you're one of the most well-known, loved, and respected people in the theater community because you've been doing theater and been involved with the performing arts here for a long time. And of course, Cyrano's Theater Company, even the bookstore and everything, we'll talk all about that. And tomorrow, Saturday at noon at Cyrano's 4th and D, you're doing a celebration you're calling the End of an Era.
And it is.
And just to briefly talk about that, you stepped down as being artistic producer and director a year ago, handed the reins off to Teresa Pond, and then this past summer, the Cyrano's Theater Corporation, or whatever it's called.
Well, I can explain that to you,
go
because
ahead,
that's
please,
a very important thing to understand.
Let's go ahead and talk about that.
All right. Okay. Cyrano's is a 501c3. Earlier, it was called Eccentric Theater Company. That was the original name that Jerry wanted.
Jerry Harper,
the co-founder of Cyrano's and the most gifted actor and director and wonderful guy. And when he did pass in 2005, the board wanted to call it Cyrano's Theater Company rather than Eccentric Theater Company because people would always say, hey, we're going to Cyrano's. And that's because Cyrano's had a history before the theater. We had Cyrano's Bookstore and Cafe, which was really a cultural mini mall. We had a cinema, we had art shows, we had music, we had special events. And it was a very, very special place.
Right. And then so now the corporation of Cyrano's is moving off
you
to the bar.
It is a corporation, but you've got to say nonprofit.
Nonprofit,
501c3,
right.
A nonprofit.
So what we're celebrating is the fact that that space was used for so much, for so many years, that we want to celebrate that era. And that's what
we're
doing
tomorrow. It's been a very well-known cultural and arts destination.
Right. And you mentioned before it started in 1987, before it became a theater company.
That was the prologue. It was Cyrano's Bookstore and Cafe, which was notable in its own right.
And you had a cinema, you said.
There was a cinema there.
So I came in 2000, and I first saw my first show in 2001, which was Crimes of the Heart, which is a brilliant production. So I wasn't familiar with the cinema part. Tell us about that.
Well, our movie partner was Rand Thornsley, who had the Capri. And then he also became the program director for the Beartooth when they first opened. So we had art films, independent films, unique films, just like reflecting the bookstore, which had that kind of literature in it.
And were they shown in the area that the theater is
now? No. It had its own. It's where, like, the Bubbly Mermaid and all that is
now.
Oh,
really? Okay.
The bookstore was quite large. It was way to the alley. It was also downstairs. And so we had movie posters from all over the world in that cinema. And we even had an Oscar night. We had a limo come up.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Teenagers with flashlights instead of those, what do they call those? Kegling lights.
Right, yeah, the follow spots.
Yeah. So as usual, Cyrano's always did everything with a style.
Right. So how did you and Jerry come to start that bookstore and all of that? How'd you come up with the name Cyrano's?
Well, we actually inherited the building. Jerry came up with his mother during World War II. And she managed the Colonial Dress Shop, which was where the cafe lobby is. The landlord was Zach Lusack. Long story short, they met, fell in love, got married. We even wrote a play about it called...
I saw that play.
Yeah, the courtship of Zach and Ada.
Yeah.
So the subplot to that was the quest for statehood.
Right.
So anyway, in 86, when Jerry's mom, Ada, passed, we did inherit the building. And also at that time, Tony Knowles was the mayor. So he courted us with urban renewal. There was a liquor store in the 1915 building, which is the venue for the theater, historical venue. So we renovated the whole thing, borrowed lots of money. I mean, like, lots of zeros. And, you know, before the ink was dry, the economy tanked.
Oh, no.
Yes. Oh, no.
But you survived. But you have survived.
Well, we did have an anchor tenant at that time, the police department.
That's right.
They were there for 5 years. And we always like to say it's the safest theater in town because they did leave the legacy of bulletproof windows on 4th Avenue.
I've heard that. Those windows on 4th Avenue are bulletproof.
That's right.
And they still are, I guess.
Oh, yeah. But what happened was we had this nice space and a huge mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And because Jerry was such a gifted actor and director, and I wasn't a bad marketing person mm-hmm. and producer, well, let's have a theater. And so we did.
That's fascinating.
We created Cyrano's Off-Scene Playhouse.
You created a theater to make money.
Well, to save the building.
Well, I know, but
we never made any money.
Well, I know that, but I mean, but most people leave theaters because they don't make any money, so they go into something else. You created a theater to pay the mortgage. That's fascinating.
Well, that was the incentive, yeah. But always it was a work of love.
Of course.
Passion, and you know, Jerry was never particularly monetarily motivated, as you could tell a lot by the choices of the theater we chose to do. We didn't really include the commercial aspects, although we hope people would come and our shows would be popular.
Well, the name of your company, Eccentric Theater Company, kind of sets that up, that you're out of the circle. You're not within the circle of commercial theater.
Yes, off-center.
You're off-center.
Cyrano's Off-Center Playhouse.
Right.
We often thought people didn't quite get that because of Performing Arts Center.
Oh, I got that. I'm not. Duh.
But, yeah, and we've, you know, and it was in 1997 that Eccentric Theater, the predecessor to Cyrano Theater, became a 501c3. So it's been 25 years where, through our creative efforts and the community, that we've accumulated quite a few assets. But because a 501c3 is a legal entity, you know, we didn't own anything.
Right.
Even though we did the benefits and were sort of the spearhead, you know, lots of people helped, contributed things. But they could take everything with them, and they did.
Right. We'll talk more about this event that's happening tomorrow, Saturday, starting
Saturday
at noon.
Saturday from noon on.
But I want to tell folks who are just tuning in, we're talking to Sandy Harper, who's the matron saint of theater here in Anchorage, about the end of an era that's going to happen tomorrow, Saturday, at Cyrano's 4th and D.
Yes. So. And what I really, really, really want are people's memories, their stories, and their experiences. We'll be collecting them via, Jan will be taping them, and we'll have ways to write them. But in case you can't come, please email me them at cyrano@ak.net. cyrano@ak.net. And if you want to mail them, snail mail, that's both welcome too, but that needs to be mailed to Sandy Harper
mm-hmm.
for 13 D Street. 99501. And, well, speaking of memories, stories, and experiences, maybe you have a few, Steve, you would share.
I might have a few. Yes, I've done a few shows there. And I've seen a lot of, like I said, one of my first shows I ever saw in Anchorage was Crimes of the Heart in 2001, I guess it was.
Yeah, that was one of our guest companies. We did host other theater companies. Originally, when we opened Toast and Pacific Rim were our kind of home theaters, and we produced independently.
I have to tell you one story
sure.
right now. I came here in 2000 to go to the Last Frontier Theater Conference in Valdez. Mm-hmm. I was staying at what was the Holiday Inn
mm-hmm.
across the street.
Right.
And I'd gotten the program from the Last Frontier Theater Conference, and they were doing Edward Albee's Three Tall Women. And I walked across the street, and I saw that it was on your marquee at
yes.
Cyrano's. I thought, I wonder if they know that they're doing it in Valdez, and you were the ones who were doing
yes,
it.
That's right. Yeah, we were regulars at the Last Frontier Theater Conference.
Right, yeah. So I keep hearing people say that they have mixed feelings about coming to this. They think they might just start crying and missing it and everything. I'm sure there's a lot of sentimental memories of this space, but there's a lot of joyous memories in that space, aren't there?
Oh, that's very true.
Yeah, and another story is I always love to see you come out with your curtain speech. One of the highlights of just seeing the joy you brought to that space, and this was your space, and you loved being in there so much.
Well, it was the theater was in like 25 years of, 24 because Teresa took over this year.
Right.
Of blood, sweat, tears, love, and of course, subsidy.
Right, and you gave me a sheet here with all the plays you've done over the past 26 years now, I guess.
But no, this is the 25th year.
Yeah. Right, and looking at the number of plays, you talked a moment ago about, you know, taking some risks, and you did.
Well, that was what theater really is. It's to take risk, and it's to raise questions and stimulate dialogue
mm-hmm.
and, you know, really touch people's hearts, their minds, and tickle their funny bone, hopefully, too, and, you know, as well as be entertaining.
Well, and you did a show every month.
That was what's really extraordinary. We did do a different show every month. And, of course, when you came to the theater, you never knew what to expect because it was a unique and different universe in the theater. That's because we had so many wonderful designers
mm-hmm.
and so many talented actors and directors. This community really is blessed with vibrancy in terms of talent.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the collaborative part of the theater.
Are there any, I guess, special memories you have? I know you must have, you know, thousands, but maybe a couple or maybe one or two you can share with us right now about something that just stood out for you over these years?
Well, they always ask, who was your favorite child?
Well, I know.
But you know, the truth is, the commitment to each production was 150% mm-hmm. and intense. And that's what was fun about it, because you were so committed and so involved. And of course, in retrospect, I'm particularly fond of everything Jerry did, because mm-hmm. he was an extraordinary actor, as I said. I guess particularly remember Lady Bracknell mm-hmm. and the importance of being earnest, because people would say, well, gee, who's that new actress in town? And also I was fond of doing big projects like Statehood Year. We did 5 original Alaskan plays by Alaskan playwrights. And then last 2015, we did a centennial of special, the first 100 years.
Right, there are 10 different plays then.
Exactly. Every decade, we did a different play in 10-week period. And Steve, you
created one of them.
Mm-hmm. And my memories and stories and experiences are very dear to me. And maybe I'll even write that memoir, although.
You need to write a memoir.
That's
about
one
this.
Reason you I do. Want your stories, yeah. memories, and experiences, everybody out there.
So you can just write down our memories as your memoir.
Well, I will include them. Or maybe they'll trigger something for me, which would be great. But of course, everybody's writing a memoir. If you go to a party in this town, you say, how's your memoir mm-hmm. coming?
Oh, yeah.
Half the room will turn around and tell you.
Well, you've always been a supporter of not only artistic expression, but original plays, too. I mean,
yes, we have definitely cultivated Alaskan playwrights. And Dick Reichman, in fact, was our resident playwright, and we've done 11 of his plays.
11.
The last one we did, we commissioned from him because Paul Brown and I wanted to do a play about an imaginary meeting between Jay Hammond and Wally Hickel. And now we did that, and it was fantastic. We had special guests talking about the play who knew either Jay or Wally, and that always made it special for me.
I remember seeing that play. I remember seeing someone in the front row who knew one of the two was sort of talking back during the show.
Oh, well, actually, that was Emily Hickel, the opening night. Irma Lee actually came and saw it twice, mm-hmm. but she did relate to the character. She actually bought all the Hickel sons, and they stood after opening night and had a conversation with the audience. So those things are special. Or like when we did Johnny's Girl by Kim Rich, some of the characters, of course, were real people. And when we did the cast party at Mr. Wyke's, of course.
Oh, of course.
Some of the real people who were sort of underground related, shall we say, came to enjoy the festivities.
Well, Sandy Harper, we could talk forever here. And I'm sure people will talk starting at noon on Saturday.
Yes, please
at
do.
At Cyrano's 4th and D. It's so great to have you on the show talking about this end of an era. But it's an end of an era, but it's the beginning of something new, I'm sure. And you will be writing a memoir and bringing all these memories to us. So thank you so much for being on Stage Talk this week.
And do remember, if you can't actually come on Saturday, email your story or memory or experience to me, or snail mail it to me.
That's great. Well, that's it for this week on Stage Talk. Until next time, I'm Steve Hunt for KSKA.
Stage Talk is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Stage Talk and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life informed. This is Alaska Public Media.